This time, children may go to junior church. Oh, thank you, Kristen. Hey, Ron, would you do me a favor, Dan? If you would like a handout of this morning's message, Ron? Yeah. Are you Ron? Last time you checked? Would you hit that side over there? I hope we have enough. If we don't, it wouldn't be the first time. All right. I pulled my King James out this morning. I shouldn't say that. I always use it as a text reference. But I actually brought out my old King James, which has a few additions. But I'll tell you why, and I know you guys won't want to hear this, but the Greek text of the King James and New King James is to me a more reliable text in the Greek language. And I say that because it translates it actually very accurately. I prefer the New King James to the Old King James. And the reason for that is it makes it a little more readable than over the Old King James. It takes the these and thous out of it. But I have misplaced my New King James. So if anybody has seen a New King James, I've been missing it now for 2 weeks. And that's why I switched to the ESV. I like the ESV as well. I like the NIV fine too, but I prefer the New King James myself. Now, if you just will make airplanes out of those handouts, don't take one. Is there people over here who didn't get one, Ron? Is there anybody over here who did not get one? A couple there. Do you need more? Dan, you want to hit this center section right here? Just keep your hand up. And we're going to look at this morning as far as we can get through. I'm getting a little bit later start than I have been in the last couple weeks. But if you have your notes there, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again, always, 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 we thank you and praise you that you called us to your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for, Lord, opening our eyes of understanding that we would believe in him alone as our provision, your provision for our sins and our eternal life. Lord, I thank you for your word now, and I desperately need your Holy Spirit to fill me, to enlighten us, to teach us. I pray that, Lord, the notes that we've prepared from my heart, that you have given to my heart and I have put down on paper, I just pray that, Lord, you would use it for your honor and glory. And speak to us. In Jesus, your name, amen. Before we get started, there is a couple copies where the front is upside down from the back. There's only two like that, so if you got that, you win the prize. There's no prize, but you won it, all right? But remember, I want to correct something. On your notes, at the bottom of the front page, under Hebrews 8, a better covenant, and so on, that says Roman numeral number 3. It's Roman numeral number 1. It doesn't matter, but just that's Roman numeral number 1. So scratch 3, put Roman numeral number 1. On the top of the back page, you have number 3. That is number 1. And number 4 is number 2. Down at the bottom of the back page, you have Roman numeral number 4, and that's Roman numeral number 2. And I didn't catch that till after I had copied it, and I thought, I am not going to waste the money and copy this all over again. So, let's get started. The Bible's made up of two testaments. You all know that, I know. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament is also the word covenant. Covenant. So you've heard of the Old Covenant. We've been talking about the Old Covenant of the law and the New Covenant of grace with Jesus Christ. So you have the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, which is also the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, a testament is a legal agreement. You all know what a testament is, right? If you have a will, you have a last testament to your life. A will is a testament, all right? Now, a testament is a legal agreement of last will and testament of the deceased. That's of your living. If you're living now, it's your last will. But it doesn't go into effect until you die, right? Most of us don't want to give up our money till we die. We don't want our inheritors to get it till we die. And so it goes into effect. A last will and testament goes into effect when you die. You all understand that. So if you have the Old Testament, something had to die. Correct? And then you have the New Testament, someone had to die. So you have an Old Testament. Now, the death of the unblemished animal offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the people, that enacted the Old Testament agreement of the Mosaic Law. Now, it was the Mosaic Law was weak and useless or outdated for a number of reasons. Now, I want you to know the law was good. There was no problem with the Ten Commandments. There is not one mistaken or useless thing in the Ten Commandments. They're all good. The problem is us. We're the problem with the Old Testament laws because we break them. As a matter of fact, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Second, you shall make no idol. What did the Jews do? First thing when Moses was up in the mountain, what did they do? They made an idol. And they worshiped this idol. And so the commandment was good, but the people didn't obey it. So it didn't make you righteous. It showed that you were a sinner. It shows us that we're sinners. And that's, of course, what Galatians teaches. But the point is, the bottom line was that the Old Testament laws, and it should be a comma there, priesthood and sacrifices, were never able to perfectly or permanently remove the sins of the person who offered the sacrifice. You understand that? The blood of an animal could not remove your sins. The laws could not remove your sin. The Ten Commandments could not remove your sins. It only showed you that you are a sinner. But it could not take away your sins. So there's a need of a New Testament. But you understand, the Old Testament law was enacted with the blood of an animal. And we're going to read that in just a minute here. The New Testament covenant, or the New Covenant, or New Testament, was enacted with the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He was offered to take away the sins of the world, John 1:29. It was enacted, the New Testament agreement. The death of Christ enacted the will and the inheritance to those who believe in Jesus. Now, the cool part of this is, if you'll keep reading, his priesthood, Jesus' present priesthood and sacrifice was perfect. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross was perfect. He had not one sin, not one blemish to his character. He was perfect, and he died a perfect death. He lived a perfect life, and he died a perfect death, but he took our sins in his body on the cross. And he was a perfect sacrifice. But the cool part, we all know that, but his priesthood and his sacrifice, hear this, his priesthood and his sacrifice were perfect and permanent. That's an important word. Which enables the Lord Jesus, therefore, If you look at what I wrote there, it's taken right from Scripture. It was perfect and enabled the Lord Jesus to offer, to be able to save. Christ is able to save to the uttermost. And that's the word, the Greek word, to be complete. He's able to save you completely and for all time. For all the existence, for all time, Jesus is able to save you from your sins. Amen? He is. For all time. And that's what's really cool. And here's why. He is able to save to the uttermost or completely those who come near to God through him, that is through Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse 23 through 25, and let's just read that as a reminder of last week. And they, that is the Levites, the priests in the Old Testament, Aaron and his sons, they truly were many priests, Hebrews 7:23. Because they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, became man, who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, and he's made higher than the heavens. So Jesus, the Old Testament, the New Testament. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, if you go on down, and I want to get to this text that's down below here. In Hebrews chapter 7, last week we talked about how that Christ has a better priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Does anybody remember what made Jesus a priest after the order of Melchizedek? I'm sure you don't because it's kind of obscure. But anybody remember that was here last week? He had no beginning and he had no end. Melchizedek had no beginning and he had no end. And that's why Jesus was a priest after his order. And his order actually preceded the order of the Levites under the law. If you weren't here last week, I don't have time to get into that one again. But I have notes for that if you really want to study. But anyway, we have a better priesthood with Jesus. It's unchangeable. Hebrews chapter 8 is where we're at today. We have a better covenant. We have a better testament with better promises. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll turn there with me, I wanted to show you that the death of the animals initiating the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16. For where there is a testament or a covenant, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament or covenant is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator lives. Makes common sense. Verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept or every rule, and by the way, there's 10 commandments and 600 rules in the Old Testament covenant. 10 commandments and 600 rules. That's an amazing thing to know, isn't it? 600 rules. Can you imagine trying to keep track of 600 rules? You have trouble keeping track of the speed limit. Try to keep track of 600 rules, let alone the Ten Commandments. But the point is, I better get back to where I was. All right, verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every rule to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop. That's a branch with leaves on it. and he sprinkled both the book of the law and all the people. So he initiated the covenant, sprinkling the blood of an animal. Verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the covenant, or the testament, which God hath enjoined to you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So you see, that's what enacted the old covenant. You understand? Everybody understand that? We all right there. What enacted the new covenant? What did Jesus say? This is the blood. When he held the cup, and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, or the new testament, in my death. Right? Drink all of it. And so when you drink the blood, the cup during the communion, you're remembering the covenant or the testament, the will that Jesus, that God wrote for you. And what was the blood of Jesus? It says, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of many. And the only way to have the forgiveness of your sins and the complete perfect payment for your sins is the blood of the Lamb of God. That's the only way. And please hear me. Please hear me. Because there may be somebody here this morning that doesn't know how to be saved, how to have your sins forgiven. And the good news is, Jesus Christ, God's only Son, died on the cross. And when he died, he offered himself a perfect sacrifice and took your sins in his body. And he died for your sins. And he arose again the third day from the dead. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. The nails in the hands, he ate food. He says, I'm not a ghost, I have a body. He taught them for 40 days, ascended back to the Father, where he sits at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. Now, what's a high priest do? We're going to look at that this morning, too. But let's move on. I want you to skip down to the next paragraph, Hebrews 8, a better covenant with better promises. That's your blank there. A better covenant with better promises. In Hebrews chapter 8, if you turn there with me, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, wow, he's spoken a lot in Hebrews, amen? Wow. The things that we have spoken, this is the final truth. The ultimate point, the Greek says, the ultimate point of all the preliminary things that we have said is this. We are having such a high priest that has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, the throne of the majesty in the heavens. All right, now let's just tear that verse apart. It's right there in your notes. Number one, Roman number one, the place where our high priest ministers under the new covenant. What is Jesus doing at the present time? What is Jesus doing right now in heaven? Give me one thing. What'd you say? Yeah, that's the blank. He's preparing a place for you in heaven. Isn't that cool? The old song, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. I'm not sure. I think even a dwelling place in heaven is going to be greater than Donald Trump's house here on earth. He's preparing a beautiful place. That's why he went. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we know that much. He's preparing a place for us. But Jesus' main ministry in heaven is being our high priest. That's your other blank there. Is that of being our high priest? He's carrying out the functions of an intercessor and an advocate before God for believers who come to God by him. Now think about this. Think about how important is Jesus' ministry for you right now. I'm going to tell you something. If he wasn't there for you right now, you would be in trouble. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Familiar verses, but great to be reminded of. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Well, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There are people who say they don't have any sin. I've heard them. I said, you just sinned. But anyway. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, that is, agree with God about our that we have sinned, he, this is Jesus, he is faithful and righteous, just, righteous, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what's a priest do? What's a high priest do in the Old Testament? He mediates, doesn't he? You bring your sacrifice. Bill Zacher commits a sin, and he brings me a goat. He lays his hand on that goat. He brings it to the temple or the tabernacle. He confesses his sin on that goat. The priest takes that animal, cuts its throat, and puts it on the brazen or the bronze altar as an offering for the sin that he committed. And his sin is covered over. And he does this by faith. And so in the Old Testament, that covered over Bill's sin. But only the priest could offer. The average Joe, and there were 12 tribes, and only one of the tribes was able to do that. And really, I shouldn't say one of the tribes. All the Levites couldn't do that. You understand that? The tribe of Levi had one family of many families that could be priests, and that was Aaron's family. And Aaron's family could be priests, and only Aaron's children and Aaron himself could serve as a sacrificer, a mediator, going between Bill and God. The priest was the mediator that brought his sacrifice and presented it to God. Now, the point is, I asked you, what is Jesus doing in heaven right now? He is acting as our high priest. Now, once a year, of the Aaron himself, who was the high priest, there were priests that could offer sacrifices at the brazen altar. All right? You understand that? That's out in the courtyard. But once a year, the high priest, Aaron, could go, and there's the Holy of Holies right back there where Jeff's sitting. I'm joking, obviously, but there was a room 30 foot wide, I think 15 foot out, and inside that room was a golden box called the Ark of the Covenant. And on that gold, it was gold-covered box. It was a box just covered with gold. Two cherubim stretched wing to wing that was molded onto this box, this top of this box. The high priest, one guy of all the millions of people in Israel, one guy could offer a sacrifice once a year. That he could go behind this room that had five curtains. He'd go into this room with the blood of an animal, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. One guy, once a year. And he was representing the whole nation of Israel. Now, Jesus, when he died on the cross, rose again, ascended back to heaven, went into the Holy of Holies in heaven, not earth, in the heavens, where God actually lived. And he presented his blood as a perfect offering to remove once for all the sins of every person who would believe in him. But what about your sins that you commit on a daily basis? You have a high priest that's behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And if you confess your sins to him, his ministry now is to listen to your sins and to forgive you of your sins. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, he says, these things I write to you that you seek to not sin at all. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is a propitiation, or the payment for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So he is the one who is the high priest in the Holy of Holies in heaven. He offered his blood. But if you sin now, guess where you got to go? You got to go to your high priest, Jesus Christ. And you have to confess your sins. And by the power of his atonement, through which he has perfected you forever completely, he is able to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all your deeds of unrighteousness. Now, he doesn't want you to sin. Don't use that as an excuse to sin. Because you say, well, that just gives me a reason to go out and sin. That's why John writes the very first verse of chapter 2. My beloved, I write that you don't sin at all. Don't use that as an excuse to sin. But I want you to, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is the propitiation, or the acceptable payment for your sins. And not for your sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, if they'll believe in him. So we have a better covenant with better promises. Number one up above there on the back of your notes, his seat of ministry. Go back to Hebrews chapter 8, his seat of ministry. We have such a high priest who is set down. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. His seat of ministry. In the Old Testament tabernacle, I love this. When that high priest once a year went into the Holy of Holies, guess what he didn't find there? There was no chair. There was no chair for him to sit down in. Because his sacrifices would never end. They would just go on and on and on. You know what you do? You know what you do, Tim, when you're done working? What do? You come home and sit down. When work is finally finished for the day, now you got to get up tomorrow. But guess what Jesus did? His ministry is from seated. Why is he seated? Because it's complete. Mankind's salvation is finished. Look at the notes there. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and only one time a year in the Day of Atonement. The seat indicates sitting down when something is completed. But under the old covenant law, there was no end. there never was an end to the sacrifices. There never was an end to the sacrifices. They could have been McDonald's 24/7. I mean, people sinned all the time. And there never was an end to their offering of an animal. You ever hear of the Valley of Gehenna? That's where they took all the carcasses and burned all the carcasses from all the animal sacrifices. The Valley of Hinnom, Valley of Gehenna. And Jesus compares that to hell, by the way, because the fire never went out. they were constantly burning carcasses from animals. The Old Testament sacrifices were unending. But there was no end to sacrifices, and the priests were continually offering animal sacrifices that could never permanently take away sin. But when Jesus entered the heavenly sanctuary of the Holy of Holies, he sat down because his sacrifice for sin was the final one of his priesthood. He never would offer another sacrifice. Do you understand that coolness of that? Jesus is not in heaven offering sacrifices. Jesus is in heaven using his sacrifice to atone for the sins of all who will draw near to God through him. And he is there to forgive your sins. If you'll draw near to God, he will forgive your sins. And when you confess your sins, and he's seated. His ministry today is not one of sacrifice, but of intercession. And he does that seated at God's, the Father's, right hand. Number two, the sanctuary of his ministry. The sanctuary of his ministry. By the way, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not clicking the clicker. Are you sleeping back there, Brandon? You're supposed to be clicking that clicker for me this morning because I'm not clicking it. I'm sorry. If you are a guest, this is normal. The Bible is made up of an old, I guess we did that. Okay. Oh, boy. That's where we are. The place and the sanctuary is number, that's where we're at. The sanctuary of his ministry is in heaven itself. Hebrews chapter 2, this is some great verses. Hebrews 2, or 8, verse 2. A minister or servant of the sanctuary, that is the Old Testament tabernacle. All right, so the servant or the minister of the Old Testament sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not a man. That's simply saying, who built the Old Testament tabernacle? Obviously, God called people to build it, right? And it was built, and it was pitched. That verse is true. He says, which the Lord pitched, not a man. The heavenly tabernacle, guess who pitched that one? And that's where it fastened down the stakes. The earthly tabernacle or tent had its stakes pounded into the earth. But the tabernacle in heaven, God pitched it. I don't know that you have to take that literally, but the point is that there's a true tabernacle and there's an earthly tabernacle. And that's what he's going to say here. Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained, that is appointed, to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man, that is Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he wouldn't even be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. All right, so that's the Old Testament priests. I talked about the high priest and his sons, the priests, from the family of Aaron. But Jesus wasn't from the tribe of Levi. That's the point. Verse 5, who serve unto us as an example. So the earthly tabernacle or tent where the people built and went to worship after they came out of Egypt, that served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. This, for see, saith he, that is, God said, that you make all things according to the pattern shown you in the mount. But now hath he ordained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now let me just go to your notes there. The number two, the old covenant tabernacle. Now, because I have so many levels of understanding here this morning, when Israel came out of Egypt, God called Moses up to Mount Sinai. He gave him instructions to build a tent. Now, why did they need a tent? They needed a tent because they were a nomadic people. They were out in the desert and they would move from place to place. So they needed a tent. You couldn't erect a temple building like was in Jerusalem. They needed a tent that they could move it, nail the stakes down and pick it up and take it. All right? But God instructed Moses to build this tent. They called it the tabernacle. And it was to be made exactly to the detail like God showed Moses when he went up into Mount Sinai to receive the law. He gave him the instructions of how to build this tent. And Moses was told to build it to the specifications that God had instructed him. So Moses came down and they built this tent, and that's where they worshiped. Later in the kingdom of Israel, King David, great guy, sinner, great guy. But King David said, God, I want to build you a temple. It's not right. I mean, all these other nations have gods and they have temples for them. I want to build you a temple. And God said, you're not the man to build it. But first of all, I don't dwell in houses. The heavens can't contain me. But he said, it's good that you had that in your heart to want to do something for my name in building this temple. But the temple, the tabernacle, and later the temple, were built with specific instructions to symbolize the temple in heaven. There is an actual temple or tabernacle in heaven where God the Father sits on the throne of his majesty, and Jesus Christ sits on the throne at his right hand in a literal place where God is. The earthly things that they were built were just patterns. They were types and it could never be like the heavenly one. All right. So let me read this. The old covenant tabernacle temple was built and erected by men as an earthly place of worship. But the true tabernacle, place of worship in heaven, was erected by God himself. Christ does in heaven what he never did on earth. He ministers as a high priest in the heavenly holy of holies to God for you. You have somebody who can bring you to the Almighty. That's the whole point of his priesthood. And someone who offered a sacrifice that could make you perfect. And someone who's there to hear you confess your sin when you sin, and he can forgive you and cleanse you of your sins. They could never have that in the Old Testament. Better promises. Letter A now, quickly, the perfection of Christ's place of ministry. The sanctuary in heaven is the true tabernacle, pitched by God himself as compared to the copy. Literally, the word is tupos. Illustrate this. When I was a kid, I had coloring books. Can you imagine that? But I had coloring books, and I would oftentimes take a piece of paper and trace the picture. And I would try to make it like the copy, like the original. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, that's what the earthly tabernacle was. It was simply a copy of the heavenly temple where God literally dwelt. And that's what I'm trying to say all this morning. It was a copy of the true tabernacle that was built and pitched and it was on earth by men, but obviously in heaven by God. Now, the performance of his ministry. As a high priest under the old covenant law, they served the people to bring their animal and the gift offerings to God as the people's mediator to God. So the Lord Jesus serves and ministers as the high priest mediator on behalf of those who believe in him to the Father by his sacrifice of and blood of the new covenant in the true tabernacle in heaven. And this is good stuff. Take this home and study this. I'm not going over all these verses for your sake, time-wise. I'll be glad I get to heaven and there's no clock. And we don't have nowhere to go. I hope I'm allowed to be a preacher up there. I know I won't, but I don't know. Maybe I will. I don't know what I'll do up there exactly, but but the point is, there's some good verses there. Let her see the preeminence of his ministry. We are reminded that Jesus could not have served as a high priest on earth since he was from the tribe of Judah, not Levi. He did not begin to serve as our high priest until he enacted the new covenant and entered heaven. The earthly priests and tabernacle served as a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed. See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. God gave Moses on Mount Sinai instructions, a pattern for how the tabernacle was built, be built as a copy of the heavenly one. And then number two there, and we'll cover this next week, the provision of the better promises. That's very good, by the way. The provision of the better promises under the new covenant. This section of Scripture is one of the most important. It's one of the only places that really go through all the promises of the new covenant. And by the way, that next two blanks, that's next week. So I hope you'll come back next week. And we'll study that next week. But in closing, let me just remind us, you might feel inadequate and unable to find a relationship with God. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, I hope you have concern for your soul's salvation. Your soul's salvation. Jesus said this, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Your soul's salvation is the most important matter of your entire life's existence. And I want you to know that God has provided a way for your soul to be saved. And for you to be saved completely, both now and forever, with a perfect sacrifice. And he is therefore able to save to the uttermost anybody who will come to God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ, as he always lives. He's always alive at the Father's right hand to make intercession for you. I think that's wonderful. And you say, "Pastor, I get worries. I get things that I'm afraid of that could happen." Well, I guess I want to encourage you to go to your mediator. There's one who knows your every worry. What a friend we have in Jesus. He knows your worries. He knows your cares. He knows your temptations. He is there to help you and to enable you to even overcome your temptations and to save you from your sin. What a wonderful salvation we have that we've been studying in Hebrews. Let's pray. Dave, did you happen to pick out a hymn? 340. Let's turn to hymn 340 in your red hymn book. Let's stand together as we sing. Hymn 340. You know, why in the world, think about this, why in the world would you carry the burden of a worry or fear? when you have a high priest who knows your every need, why do you carry it? Why don't you go to your high priest? Why don't you draw, as this song says, near to the heart of God? Let's sing that song, 330. I'm sorry, what number was it? 340. All right. Okay. If you'd like to come and pray, maybe you'd like to come and talk to your high priest and talk to God through your high priest. Maybe you need his intercession. Maybe you need to share your burden with him. Maybe you're not saved and you need to share the salvation burden that you have on your heart. Come and pray. Use the front rows, chairs, or come to the altar here. But come and pray. Nearer still, nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in your haven of rest. Shelter me safe in your haven of rest. On the third, nearer still, nearer, Lord, to be thine. With its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified. Thank you for coming. Again, 5:30 tonight, those who would like to see that first video, Answers in Genesis. It is the foundational video of that study. So, Dave, why don't you close us in prayer?